If you'd like to shuffle and take your seats, good morning, you are really welcome. It's lovely to have you all here. Just before we start, let's just pray. I'm going to read a little bit of scripture and then we'll pray. So from Corinthians. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Father God, we welcome you in this place. We thank you that you are a God who is everywhere, all the time. That all we need to do is reach out to you and you will be there. And so, Lord, this morning we come, we reach out to you. We pray that you would give us more knowledge of you, more head knowledge, more heart knowledge. Fill us anew with your Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So, Father God, we bring you everything we have, our money and ourselves. Every day a little bit more that we give you than we did yesterday. Take it. Use it to your glory in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's a great pleasure to welcome everyone who have joined us this morning in the building and, of course, everyone who's out there on YouTube. It's good to be together. Thank you so much for leading the worship team. It's really good as usual, and it does inspire us, doesn't it, to get closer to our Lord, as we've just done in prayer, and that's really a wonderful thing to do and very powerful. We have a guest speaker this morning, Jonah. I don't know anything else other than your name, bless you. But I'm sure we'll learn a bit more about you in a few more minutes. But thank you very much for coming. Just a few notices for this week then. The ladies were meeting tomorrow down here at church at 1:30. Mums and Tots down here at church on Tuesday at 10 o'clock. Sunday the 23rd of October we have our cafe church, a bit of a different kind of church service where we will be enjoying some food, chatting, maybe a few quiz sheets and a short message at the end. But it's a really excellent time to get people to come, people that maybe you don't normally invite to church or maybe don't usually come, and just spend a bit of time getting to know each other, getting to know what we're about. So that's on Sunday the 23rd. Sunday the 30th of October, we're having a commissioning service recognising all those who lead groups and activities. So that's just something a little bit different that will be doing part of the morning service. Monday the 31st, we have our light party, our alternative to Halloween. We've been doing it for a few years now and it's really good fun. It's an all age thing, it doesn't have to be just children. It's from 5 till 7, it'll be a time of fun and games, as we say. Some food, we always have food, don't we? Because that's always good in the party. We are preparing, the church is providing the main buffet, if you like, the savouries, but we could do with some volunteers to bring some sweet things, please. Whatever you like, that'd be really good. Or if you're not able to do that and you'd like to donate, that's okay as well. So just bring them on the day, we'll just put them through there and have a lovely spread. Now, Sunday the 13th of November is Remembrance Sunday. And for the past few years, there's been a community event up at Aston, up at the War Memorial, which is always really well attended. It's really a really lovely time. But it actually is the same time as our church service. Now, we know that there are a few people who have, quite a lot of people who have responsibilities in church in the morning, in the Sunday morning, to make sure that the service goes ahead as normal. So we wondered this year if we might try to have our Sunday morning service a bit earlier at 9:30. So that anyone that wishes to go can go back up to the service for 11 o'clock. I think it starts about 1:45, but so that should give plenty of time. So just for that one Sunday, please make the people who watch on YouTube that it will be going out an hour earlier at 9:30. I'll keep mentioning this just so everybody knows. Sunday the 27th of November, we have a baptism service as part of our morning worship. If anyone would like to know anything else, anything about baptism that they don't already know, or just chat to David about it or Rob, please do get in touch. They'd be more than happy to speak with you. The shoebox appeal. Right, I mentioned it last week. We have a lot of shoeboxes at the back there. Please take them. I think middle of November is probably the time when they need to be back. We do have a bit of a problem with the leaflets that need to go with them at the moment. We've tried to photocopy some and the machine's, I don't know, it's doing something, isn't it, George? But hopefully by the end of it, it will have finished what it's doing and we can get some more copies printed. So please do take a sheet with you with the boxes, because there's a lot of information on there and you do need the little label that's on there to put on the box. So hopefully we'll have got some at the back by the end of the service. Also, if anyone's able to help with preparing the communion on a Sunday morning, twice a month, that would be very much appreciated. Pauline and George do an amazing job putting setting it all out, clearing it all up. But if we could have an extra pair of hands or maybe two, it just lightens the load a little bit and it gives people a little bit of a break, or if there's any holidays or whatever coming up. So if you're able to do that, again, if you please see one of us and we'll just tell you what it entails and perhaps get a bit of a router or something. So that's just for, it'd be twice, well, it won't be twice a month because there'll be one or two of us doing it, but that's what it generally entails. We have a couple of events that I've had some information through. One of them is the Heart of Communication with Rob Parsons. Now, he's quite a well-known speaker. He does a lot of amazing work for Care for the Family. And he's doing some events around the country, but there's one in our area, and it's in Sheffield on the 17th of November. There's some little cards that look similar to this at the back, so if you're interested, if you want to take one of those when you leave, that's good. There's some information on there and get in touch. I think you need tickets and stuff. And also there's a Christian Institute meeting near us in Woomwell. That's not too far away. That's a week on Tuesday. So again, there's some leaflets at the back if anyone's interested. There's also a copy of the Baptist Together magazine at the back if anyone wants to look at that as well. Obviously the Facebook page is updated regularly. There's still quite a few newsletters at the back if anyone would like to take one of those this morning. The updates of course will continue to come out regularly. But as I say every week, just give us a ring if you need anything or something crops up, we can help. Just to finish, I just have had a thank you card from Julia. Sadly, lost her husband a few weeks ago, and she just asked me if I'd mind reading it out. A big thank you to everyone who came to Steve's funeral service, and thank you also for your cards and thoughts. Above all, thank you to friends who prayed so much during Steve's illness. And she just says to all the friends at Swanhurst Baptist Church, thank you also very much. God bless you all. Love, Julia. Thank you.
Going to invite Jonah to come on up. It's a great privilege to have guest speakers come, and this has been in the pipeline for a while, I believe, hasn't it? But it's finally here. It's great. So Jonah is a minister in training. He's a bit greedy. He's got two places, the Well in Sheffield and Woodseats, which is a church plant of the Well, and I'm sure you can tell us more of that. Yeah. But just tell us a little bit where you're at. I think you're in your second year of training, so how's that going for you?
Hello. Good morning, everyone. my name is Jonar, and I'm based at the Well, as many of you know. I'm not going to talk about much about that because it's in my intro for the
that's
talk.
Right,
so,
right.
And I am in my second year of formation as a minister in training. By the grace of God, the Lord called me to this job, and it has been very challenging for me, culturally especially, talking, because I know, as you can hear my accent, I know fully English, and I've been I've been working in mission for a while, and God gave me the opportunity to do missions here in the UK, and then opened the door for me to start my formation time with the Baptist Union. So
Brilliant, thank you. Well, just before you get into God's word, let's just pray for you and with you. Father, we just thank you for Jonah. Lord, we thank you for your call upon his life. I'm just reminded in that passage, Jesus, where you stood upon that shoreline and you just called out to the disciples. You knew exactly who it was that you wanted, Lord, and they left everything and followed. Lord, I can't say often that is the same nowadays, Lord. We just don't seem to drop things and follow. But Lord, who can resist that call upon their lives? And Lord, I just thank you that you have called Jonah, Lord, and that you lead him, you guide him, you equip him for all that he needs to be anointed in your work, to be hands and feet of you, Jesus, into the areas that you call him into, into the work and the ministry, Lord, that you're leading him, Lord. Anoint him powerfully and mightily, we pray in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Bless you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm going to put this in here because I'm going to be moving this. Good morning, everyone. And it's a great privilege to be here. I feel very excited. I used to feel very nervous when people invite me to talk. And actually, sometimes I feel nervous when I am speaking at church. And last week, I have the opportunity to preach in my own church. And something shifted in my life last week that I started feeling that sense of peace in my life after I encountered Jesus that morning. And I feel that his presence is here, and I'm feeling the same, praise the Lord, the same sense of peace today. So I feel really relaxed and feel really welcome. Thank you very much for all those who are coming to say hi. I didn't know that I met Susan last Monday at St. Hill. So thank you very much for having me here. It's a great privilege to have this as a ministerial practices, and we have been talking like for almost a year. and today is the day. Here I am. But thank you very much. It's great to know more about our wider Baptist family here in Sheffield. Well, I hear that. I don't know if this is Sheffield or Rotherham. I don't know how it is. Please. I will move on. Well, my name is Jonar. Some people call me Jonar, Jongnar, or different names. No worry about that. Call me Jonar, or how you can pronounce. The real pronunciation is Jongnar, and my mom will say, "Your name is Jongnar. You need to roll the R." We say like, "Yes." Come to England, and you will see that not many people is keen to roll the R. But yeah, I am a minister in training, as I say before. I'm in my second year of formation with the Northern Baptist College, and doing my theological education in St. Hill College in Sheffield. And I think by the grace of the Lord, I'm doing this job. I came to the UK as a missionary 5 years ago, and the Lord called me to this nation by a dream that I have probably 15 years ago before that. And when I came to the UK, it was a miracle. It was a miracle, and I came to work for a Christian organization, sharing the message of Christ with the children and your people, and young people, organization called the Oaks Holiday Center. You know, if you have heard about the Oaks, I worked at the Oaks for 5 years. And then God called me to do this job when I believed that I was the least qualified person to do this job. And here I am, by his grace and mercy, he shows me to do his job. I am probably not the best preacher. And last week, Nick Allen, the minister of my church, came to our church in 24th hour prayer that we were doing, and he came for a while. And I told him, I'm going to be preaching in Swanonis next week, and I'm going to preach in Woodsitz that Sunday. And he told me, there are no good preacher, nor there are no the greatest preacher, and there are no the bad preacher. Just preach with your heart and what the Lord is putting in your heart. So I believe I'm going to speak today for what the Lord is speaking into my heart. I want to keep with the introduction because otherwise I used to talk a lot, so please bear with me. I am original from Venezuela. Venezuela, I don't know if you don't know where Venezuela is, no worry about that. It's in South America. And we speak Spanish, by the way, no Portuguese, okay? I've been saying this to people. I am from Venezuela and I speak Spanish. And then the next week, hey man, you are the guy who's from Brazil and speaks Portuguese? Yeah. It's like, no, it's Venezuela, you know, it's Spanish, it's no Portuguese. So, and so I hope you cope with me today with my English, Spanish accent. And as I am still learning to articulate many thoughts and many English words and articulate my English better. I am living in Sheffield with an amazing couple called Steve and Angela. God bless them. They have been very amazing and supporting me through this journey in ministry. And Steve and Angela, they are a couple guys retired already. They called me to invite me when I was looking for a place to live, and they have very good sense of humor. And a few months ago, I talked to Steve and Angela. We were having tea at the table, and I told Steve and Angela, I've been invited to Swallownet Baptist Church to speak about kindness and the fruit of the Spirit. And Angela came with her sense of humor saying, oh, I think you are kind enough to preach about that. So here I am, and we want to be talking about kindness today. And I don't think we can talk about kindness without looking at the author and creator of kindness. Jesus, the Son of God, who came to perform many acts of kindness. And before we arrived, or when we arrived, having a chat with David, and I was telling him that I was trying to think about kindness. Well, there are acts of kindness in the New Testament with Paul and here and there, and then it was in my prayer time and the Lord pointing me to Jesus, and I feel God told me deep into my heart, you want to be kind, you have to look at my Son, you have to look at Jesus. I was like, oh, wait, I have to stop. And then I start reading, and in the passage that we're gonna go into read in a second, we see Jesus on his way out of the city of Jericho, the city of the town of Jericho, and Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Jesus is on his way to the cross. Jesus is on his way to being denial and betrayal. He's on his way to Calvary. And we see in this passage that we are going to read now that Jesus stopped and did one of the most beautiful acts of kindness recorded by the book of Mark, and it was the healing of the blind man called Bartimaeus. Before I keep on going, I'm gonna invite you to wait for a minute and let's pray for a second and ask the Lord what he wants to speak to the church this morning. Ask for his presence into our life, into our hearts. Ask for revelation of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus, we thank you. Thank you that you are here. Father, we pray in this moment that your Holy Spirit will come revelation about who you are. We want to be like you. We want to be more like you. So Father, our prayer this morning is that you will revelation about this word, about kindness, about being kindness, about practicing kindness, because you are kind. This is who you are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your loving, your love and power working in us. Thank you, Jesus. We are going to be reading in Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52. Jesus healed the blind man called Bartimaeus. I will try to go reading my notes and trying to keep changing the slide, so please bear with me. Mark chapter 10, verse 46 and 52. Then they reached Jericho, and Jesus and his disciples left the town. A large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," many of, I don't know where I am, sorry. Okay, next one. "Be quiet," many of people yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he is calling you." Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "Rabbi," the man blind said, "I want to see." We still have a. And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith hath healed you." Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. At this point, Jesus' fame was spread by the region, and because he was the healer, he was the master, he was the rabbi, he had performed so many miracles, and his fame was spread about the region. People, as the passage said, a crowd of people follow him, and I presume Jesus was like surrounded by people, and because everyone wants Jesus' attention, and everyone wants to reach our Jesus. On the other hand, we have Bartimaeus, that probably early that morning woke up, brushed his teeth, and took his cup, and he went to the place where he probably used to go to beg, without knowing that that day an act of kindness will change his life forever. Now, because of his blindness, Bartimaeus was a homeless. He was basically in the bottom of the social scale, but Bartimaeus was a poor person. And I presume Bartimaeus sometimes in a good day, he have a meal or somebody gave some money for him to get some food. But as Jesus was leaving the town, we see Bartimaeus emerge from the crowd. And this is what happened. Verse 47. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." There are one particular characteristic of Bartimaeus here, and is this the fact that Bartimaeus' physical eyes were closed, but his spiritual eyes were open. He can perceive, he can feel the presence of the rabbi. He can feel the presence of Jesus. Many people around Jesus that could see him, probably could reach him and touch him, even though they wasn't believing in Jesus. Bartimaeus, in his blindness, without seeing the master, without seeing Jesus, he believed in him. And it's fascinating when I did an exegesis about Bartimaeus and why Bartimaeus was there, and looking at the context and at the back of Bartimaeus, and it's incredible how many perspectives of you can give, or how many ways God can speak to you through Bartimaeus' life. But some people told him off, And he probably, when Bartimaeus was shouting, I presume Bartimaeus was shouting with all his passion, "Jesus, Son of David!" There were so many people around Jesus. There were so many noises around Jesus. And Bartimaeus was shouting with his passion and with all his heart, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy of me." And some people tell him off. "Come on, Bartimaeus, be quiet. He's the master. You don't want to disturb the master. He's in the way to Jerusalem. He's busy. You know, there are many people here around here. Be quiet." But he keeps shouting, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy of me." Bartimaeus was asking what he needed. Bartimaeus was asking for kindness, for mercy. But we see something very particular in the passage that Jesus did. Verse 49. When Jesus hear him, and I want you to keep these two words, when Jesus hear him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come." There are something surely that we can learn from this passage and Jesus' attitude and Jesus' character. The passage says that Jesus heard him and stopped. And when I say at the beginning of that Jesus is the author and creator of kindness, is because what we see here is different to being nice. Being nice might be a way of acknowledging and waving Bartimaeus. "Hi," with a smile. "Hi, Bartimaeus." That would be socially accepted to do. "Hey, Bartimaeus. See you, Bartimaeus." I don't know if you have that episode in your life when you go down on the road or on the street, and I have every day this scenario in my life, because I used to go to Sainsbury's and there are always a homeless person in Sainsbury or out of the shopping center. And we sometimes say, "Hey, how are you?" You know, like, "Hey," and we acknowledge that person is there, that person is in need. One day I found one of our guys from church sitting with that guy, and that guy gave me an amazing example of kindness and compassion. And I was moved by a guy from church, and I just went with him and sit with him with a homeless person in front of Sainsbury's, and was one of the most amazing experiences that I have in my life, to hear the cry of people in need. Jesus was acting in his character, in his fruit of the Holy Spirit of kindness. And rather than acknowledging Bartimaeus and waving at him, Jesus stopped. And believe me, Jesus probably have so many reasons not to stop and do that miracle. The most important people of the region wanted Jesus' attention, and everyone, they probably were so many needs that Jesus had to cover, and they were so many other miracles that he could perform. And not forgetting that the cross was in Jesus' mind at that point. Although Jesus stopped and asked him, verse 51, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. And Bartimaeus, of course, says, "My rabbi." I can imagine Bartimaeus' attitude. "My rabbi," his broken heart, crying out, "I want to see." Bartimaeus used to probably beg for food and for money. But when he knew that Jesus was nearby, he knew who Jesus was, or who Jesus is, and ask for a miracle, ask for something that no one else could give or could do for him. And he said, "My rabbi, I want to see." And Jesus moved by his love and mercy and said, "Go, for your faith has healed you." Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. Let me ask you this question. Who has come into your path in your daily life your neighbors, your family members, your brothers and sisters in Christ who have come into your path asking for help. Who has come into your life asking for mercy and saying, I need help in this because I can't with this situation. Can you hear the cry of those people in need? Or are you preoccupied for where you are heading of the things of the business of this world? Or are you preoccupied for those who need your attention? Are your eyes wide enough open to see who truly needs help around you? As a church, we need to go beyond being nice people or simply acknowledging from the distance. As a church, we need to learn to move towards stopping and moving to meet the real needs, to meet real needs in people's life. We need to stop. We need to stop. And when I say this, I'm speaking to myself as well. Sometimes we are so busy and so overwhelmed with things in life that we don't see, we don't stop, we don't hear the cry of a broken world that is needing our help. And a simple act of kindness, a simple car, a simple phone call, a simple meal will change the day of that person. My prayer today is that as a church and follower of Jesus, we show the love of Christ as an example, and that we start stopping and hearing the cry of those in need in kindness. Learning in kindness, learning to be kind with my brother, with my sister in Christ, with my community, with my family, but also be kind to myself. This year, I was in... I was at the end of the last summer. I was pretty exhausted. I worked for two churches, the Well I Would Teach, the growing community, and I worked for the Well as well. My placement is divided into two places, and I was so exhausted of so many things doing. It's like they were a single day that I wasn't doing something. And I remember I came for a family meeting, and I remember a lady come to me and say, how's your training going? How is things? I say, it's very good, I'm loving. I'm just exhausted. It was my word. And she said, be kind to yourself. And sometimes with our busyness and our family problems and our situations, we forget to be kind even with ourselves. And we cannot be kind with my family, with my friends, with my brother and sister in Christ if we are not kind with ourselves. And of course, I cannot keep talking in this message without reminding the word of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. We have great words and great narrative of kindness in the Bible. But let me tell you something. The greatest act of kindness performed in the history of humanity came from God. The greatest acts of kindness in the history of humanity came from God the Father, giving away his only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for my sins and for yours, so you and I could be made holy in front of him and be with him. Jesus, the Son of God, was given to us as an act of kindness by God the Father. Jesus was given to my life when I was in that broken place like Bartimaeus, when I was asking, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He came and became flesh to come to rescue me in my blindness, in my brokenness. I don't know if this is your situation at the moment. I don't know where you are. I don't know many people in this congregation. I don't know if you are having a family situation, maybe a illnesses or a disease, or maybe something that is causing you stress and anxiety. But I just want to tell you that Jesus is here to bring you light to your eyes so you will see his glory and his power working in you. When I was in that broken place, Jesus came and healed my life. You probably don't know this, but I am a person that has been dealing with a genetic conditions. It has been so many times with hospitals and treatments and things ongoing in my life since I was a child. And for that reason, I also say that by the grace of God, I'm doing this job. And one day I was at hospital at the age of 13, was my first encounter with Jesus. Age of 13, my parents, Christian, devoted, minister of the church. I was on the bed in pain. I couldn't move, I couldn't eat for probably a month and a half. I was basically dying and suffering a bit. And I hear my dad's prayer in my bed. I was in that sense of when you are sleeping because you are you has been given some medications and you are not sleeping but you are away. I was listening my dad's prayer and my dad was saying, God, I don't want to my son suffer anymore. Please take him. Do your will because we don't want to see him suffer anymore. And as my dad was praying that, I agree with him and I say, Jesus, this is awful. I don't want to be like that. I couldn't even speak. My mind was saying, God, please take me because I cannot be anymore like that. And I feel the presence of Jesus into that room. I remember, I can feel it. I have the picture in my mind. Jesus came to that room. And that was my first encounter, 13 years old, that I have with Jesus. And Jesus said, it's not your time. I cannot do this because it's not your time. I will bring healing to your body because I have a purpose with you to share my gospel around the nations. And he started blessing me. 2 weeks later, I was walking and eating and back to school. I am a testimony of the most beautiful acts of kindness from Jesus. But what does it mean for me? What does it mean in the practical way as a church, as a corporate church, so you and I, as a family of Christ, being kind with God, with one another, and show this to the world. I found this definition. I found this definition in that I feel was a good definition for the point that I want to bring. And kindness is the benevolent and helpful action intentionally directed towards another person. It is motivated by the desire to help another and not to gain explicit reward or to avoid explicit punishment. I consider that this definition goes very well with the fruit of the Spirit that Paul mentioned in Galatians. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such these, there are no law. And I think that this definition goes very well because he says intentionally and motivated by the desire. And Paul is saying, by the fruit, but the fruit of the Spirit are these. That desire and that motivation comes by the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life and in my life. I can say anything here. I can describe kindness in a million ways. And I can give you probably a better sermon about kindness. But if I don't point you to the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life, this talk would be worthless. That intentional motivation by the desire of the Holy Spirit to, on helping one another, and that definition comes from the power of the Holy Spirit working in me and you. Because it's through the Holy Spirit that we produce much fruit. Church, we need the Holy Spirit working actively in our life. I like the moment that we have a few minutes ago where some people were moving in prophecy, and so people were saying something. The lady who was singing here, I don't see her, but I like that this church, I can feel it. There are a sense of openness to the power of the Holy Spirit speaking to people's life. And I believe this is something not very easy to achieve. To produce this fruit of the Spirit, we need to probably do many things. I sometimes believe that being a Christian is not an easy life. And being a Christian is really hard being a Christian. When you have to, you know, follow the scripture, you have to take care of your, you have to be a good mother, a good father, a good family member, you have to be good with the world, you have to pay your taxes, you have to work hard to support your family. But also when you come to church, you have to pray, you have to worship, you have to read in the scriptures, you want to grow and learn from God as well. And it's a lot what all the Christians have to do. But there are no other and beautiful way than this. The power and the name of Jesus working in us. There are a few characteristics, because I think I've been having this good message, but I need to bring people to practicality, because this is real life, and there are a few characteristics that I found about a kind person. You will see on the screen. So a kind person is a good listener, as Jesus did. The passage says Jesus stopped after hear the voice of Bartimaeus. So a kind person is a good listener. Never judge others. They take the time to know others better. A kind person is gentle and patient with those who need help. A kind person gives without expecting anything in return. A kind person respects the needs and feelings of others. A kind person is honest, but not hurtful. A kind person shows compassion. A kind person don't lie. A kind person is grateful. A kind person forgives as Jesus forgave us. A kind person is happy. And I found other interesting facts about being a kind person, and there are some scientific evidence of the benefits of being kind. And I was like, oh, that is interesting. Eating is very good for our mental health and for our daily life, everyday life. So these are the benefits. I don't know if they are big enough. Excuse me. A kind person promotes social behavior, increasing happiness and self-esteem. I'm going to read this for the screen with you because I have different things. I changed the presentation. Being kind improves how others see and accept you. Kindness leads to reduction in risk of diseases. People with less money show more generosity, charitability, and helpfulness. In children, kindness promotes more social behavior, prosocial behavior, and it is positively related to better self-regulation and less emotional reactivity. Show your children, teach your children to be kind, and they will be better children. Church, if we are truly followers of Jesus and actively practicing individually and corporately showing kindness to the rest of the world, to our families and to our brothers and sisters in Christ, this is our job as a church. Kindness is one of the tools that God has given to us. For that reason, it is the fruit of the Spirit, because it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that we will reach out our communities, our neighborhoods, our families. I am sure many of you have many family members that still don't know Christ. We consider our church a missional church. And last week we were having our church family meeting, and everyone, yes, church family meeting, the first of the year, let's do it. It was a very long one. But it was very interesting when Nick and Marjorie were giving their report. We have a team called the Well Beyond, and when we support other charities outside the well, other churches and charities in South America, in Asia, in Africa. And it was amazing the way that Marjorie and Nick were describing this project of the Well Beyond. And I was like, that is kindness. That is kindness, that we share our finance with people in real needs. Kindness is just, money is just one way. There are many other ways to show kindness. As I say at the beginning, I'm living with Angela and Steve, and these guys are amazing. And we are having a family situation at the moment. Angela, her mom is 90, God bless her, and she was admitted to hospital with a stroke. And it has been very intense week for the family. We don't know what's going to happen, and is in and out hospital every day, long hours. And a few days ago, I think 4 days ago, the ring bell, somebody pushed the ring bell, and I came out, and was Steve there. It was a lady. It was Angela's daughter, mother-in-law. And she brought a beautiful, fantastic bouquet of flowers. All of them were green because they were like decorated cabbage. I never saw it like that. I was like, this is amazing. I love it. I took a photo, but I didn't put it in the presentation. And this person who brought that bouquet of flower write a note with the bouquet of flower. And the notes say, I just want to let you know that I'm thinking in you. It's not a Christian person. This person haven't met Christ yet. But this person was moving in kindness towards the needs of Angela and the family. Mission must be in the heart of the church, because it's in the heart of God. If we want to be a missional church, if we want to reach out this community, I don't know how, this is my first time here in Swanland, so please bear with me. I don't know where I am, and I don't know Sheffield really well, but if we want to reach out this community, the community that surrounds us, we need to show kindness. We need to show compassion. We need to go out and stop and hear the real need of people. I have my friend Simon, is another minister in training from Leicester. he one day we were talking about, and we were walking. I went to visit him, and we were walking on the road nearby his house, and he said, "Ah, Father, bless this family in Jesus' name. You have purpose with them." And then it was like, "What's going on?" And say, "Well, this is a family having a particular situation, and we sometimes make meals, and we just bring to them. Sometimes they think that we give them the leftover, but it's not the leftover. We just cook for them because we know they are in need, and there are a family with four or five children. At the moment, we have in our church plant in Woodside, we have a lady, single mother with four children. They are amazing, very consistent, very member of our church, having a house situation where they have required to move the house, and it's been very stressful. They don't have the finance, and we obviously don't want to approach everyone at the same time asking how we can help, because that would be overwhelming. But we designate one person to check over her every day, how we can be praying. Every person is looking in internet. Could you look at this house? Could you look at this house? How we can help? How much money do you have? How much money can we give for you? And being kind with this family that is in real, real need. There are thousands. And for that reason, Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray God the Father to send more workers to the harvest field. Kindness is one of the ways to be missionary and to share the gospel and the love of Christ with others. You want to tell people about the church, about Christ, about Jesus. Tell them how you are kind with your brothers and sisters in Christ here in the church. Because this is the way that the world will know that Jesus is the Lord. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. And I want to invite you to stand as well. And let's reflect. And let's pray to the Father. His presence is here. His power is here. His cross is still speaking. His blood is still reaching. Jesus has been given to us as the most beautiful and greater act of kindness to us. And we want to be more like him. I will invite you to think and reflect and let the power of the Holy Spirit speak into your life to show you who in this community, in this church, or in your family, to show you who needs help, and you can have an act of kindness. But not just in one off. This is a fruit of the Spirit that we live, we must to live every day in it. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge your presence in this place. Father, we want that fruit of the Spirit actively working in our life. Teach us how to be kind, how to be like you, how to be more like you. Father, let our life be an example of love, kindness, and mercy to the rest of the world. Father, help us to move ourselves in compassion for those who are crying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And help us and teach us to be like Jesus, to hear that cry and to stop and to move towards real human needs, Father. Jesus, we worship, and it's you that we give you the glory and the power and the honor. So the world will see that you are the Lord, that you are the Son of God, that you are the Messiah, that you are the Savior, that you are the only way. Father, help us to be kind with ourselves in the middle of this busy world, in the middle of this busy life. Help us to understand that you are the master, the creator, and the author of kindness. And we pray that the power of the Holy Spirit will rest upon everyone in this room. We pray for the power of the Holy Spirit bringing revelation of your word today. Jesus, we love you. We love you. If we are here, it's because we need you, because we need your presence. Teach us, Jesus, as you came to rescue me, as you came to rescue my soul in that most dark place, in that broken place where when I was suffering disease, or when I was suffering any anxiety and depression and uncertainty in my life, you came with your power, and in an act of kindness, you saved me. You restore me. You give me life, because that is who you are. But I pray that you teach us today to be more like you and to move towards compassion to this world. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit.
Lord, we thank you that you have chosen to adopt us into your family, brothers and sisters with each other and with Christ. Father God, as we go through this series we're doing on the Spirit, we pray that you would just layer upon layer us with your Holy Spirit as the weeks go by. Fill us anew and anew and anew. Keep filling us, Lord. And then take us and use us to your glory, in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen.